Hi, my name's Ian. I've been reading stories to my two boys for years, and now it's time for me to share those stories with you. Welcome to Storytime with Dad, where I read you a book, a chapter, or for 25 minutes.
The White Cat. There was once a king who had three sons, and he loved them all so tenderly that each one was dearer to him than the others. He loved them all so well that he could not make up his mind as to which one to leave this kingdom. He thought and he thought, and then he called a wise old counsellor to him and asked his advice. "Your Majesty," said the counsellor, "you love all three of the princes equally, and so my advice is to leave the kingdom to the one who loves you the best." "But I do not know which one loves me the best," said the king. "Then set them three tasks. The one who performs the task the best, and who takes the most trouble to please you, he must be the one who bears you the most love." This advice pleased the king, and he sent for his three sons and told them what he had decided to do. "I have," said he, "a great wish for a little dog to amuse me. I will give you a year in which to find me the smallest and prettiest little dog in the world. Whichever of you will bring me such a dog shall receive a third of my kingdom." As soon as the princes heard this, they were eager to set out in search of such a dog. The two older brothers were sure one of them would find it, for they did not think much of their younger brother. Each one rode away to a great city and went to the best dog dealers there. The eldest son bought a little white dog, no larger than a small kitten, and very pretty and playful. The second son bought a red dog, so small it could curl up in the palm of his hand. Each one was content with his choice and rode home without searching further. The king was delighted with the dogs they bought, and his sons wished him to decide at once as to which one deserved the kingdom. But this the king would not do. "No, no," he said, "we must wait until your brother comes. He can hardly find another dog as pretty as these, but still it is only right to wait until he returns or until the year is up." Meanwhile, the youngest prince had ridden on and on much farther than either of his younger brothers. Everywhere he asked for dogs, and hundreds of them were brought to him, big and little, fat and thin, black and white, grey and red and yellow, but not one of them was what the prince wanted. At last, one day he came to a deep forest. A storm had risen. The prince was wet to the skin with rain and covered with mud. He saw a light before him shining through the trees, and he rode towards it. He hoped he might find there some shelter for the night. What was his surprise as he drew near the light to see it came from a magnificent palace that had been built here deep in the forest, far away from any city. The prince knocked at the door, and once it opened for him. He went in and looked about, and he saw no one. Although invisible hands closed the door behind him, an unseen hand took his, and he was led through several rooms to a handsome chamber that seemed to have been made ready for him. His wet and muddy clothes were removed, and he was dressed in a suit of white and silver. But with all this, he still saw no one. He was then led to a banquet hall, where a fine feast was laid out. Suddenly, while the prince stood looking about him, there was a sound of trumpets. The doors opposite him swung open, and a strange procession marched into the room. First, walking upright, came a small and very pretty white cat. She was dressed all in black and wore a long black veil and an ebony crown. She was followed by other cats. Some of these were dressed as ladies-in-waiting, some as courtiers, and some as trumpeters. The white cat came up to the prince and bade him welcome. "I saw you as you rode through the forest," she said, "and this feast was made ready for you. Come, prince, let us take our places at the table and eat." The cat then seated herself at the head of the table and motioned for the prince to sit beside her. Unseen hands at once served them with the most rare and delicious dishes. The cat ate daintily, and the prince noticed that she touched nothing but some oddly cooked birds and some cream. He himself was hungry and ate of everything, and while he ate, the white cat talked to him with so much sense and wit that he was delighted with her. After supper, the white cat left him, and he was led by invisible hands to a magnificent chamber where he spent the night. The next morning when he awoke, he found a hunting suit of green laid out for him, and high riding boots and a plumed hat. Unseen hands dressed him, and food was served to him in the breakfast room, hung about with curtains of satin embroidered with gold. After he'd eaten, the prince went in search of the white cat. He found her in the courtyard. She and her attendants and several cats dressed as huntsmen were about to set out on a hunt. She invited the prince to go with them, and he gladly accepted. A troop of monkeys, all saddled and bridled, led up to the palace steps. The prince looked on in wonder, and while the white cat sprang upon the back of the largest and finest monkey, the other cats also mounted. But as the prince was too large to ride a monkey, a large wooden horse on wheels was bought for him to ride. This seemed so absurd to the prince that he was about to refuse, but the white cat motioned him so politely that he was ashamed to say no. He sprang to the back of the wooden steed, and at once he felt it move and stir under him as though it was alive. The cat huntsmen sounded their horns, and away the hunting party went. The white cat and the prince rode first, and the prince found the wooden horse rolled along so smoothly and swiftly that nothing could have been pleasanter. The day was spent in hunting through the forest, and in the evening there was another grand feast at the palace, this time with music and dancing. The dancers were six large black cats dressed in spangled clothes, and their leaps and bounds and twirlings were wonderful. The prince had never been so well amused in his life before. Day after day slipped by, and still the prince stayed at the white cat's palace, and he was so happy there that he quite forgot about his father and the kingdom he'd hoped to win. The year had passed, all but 3 days, when suddenly the prince remembered his errand. He was filled with dismay, and now it was too late for him to seek out the little dog, and he feared he had lost all chance of winning the kingdom. But the white cat saw his trouble. "Do not be dismayed, prince," she said. "I know the errand that brought you here, and I'm ready to help you." She then handed him an acorn. "Here," she said, "take this, and you will find in it the thing you seek." The prince thought the cat was mocking him, but she bade him put the acorn to his ear and listen. And when he did, he could hear from within the acorn the sound of barking as thin and small as the squeaking of a mouse. "Do not open it until you reach home," said the white cat. "Then, when your father sees what is inside of it, he will know that you are the one who deserves the kingdom." The prince thanked the cat and mounted his own horse, which had been bought from the stables, and rode on home. Just before he reached his father's palace, he bought an ugly dog from a beggar and took it with him. When he entered the palace, he went at once to the room where his father sat upon his throne and the two elder sons by him. When the two princes saw the younger brother enter the court with the ugly dog at his heels, they laughed aloud with scorn. They felt very sure that now the kingdom would belong to them. The king was very much offended. He spoke to the young prince harshly. "Why do you bring such an ugly cur to my court?" he asked. "Have you no more respect for my wishes than to present me with such a dog as that?" The prince, however, answered gently, "Dear father, have patience for a moment, and I may offer you something that will please better." He then drew out the acorn and opened it. Inside it was a tiny satin cushion, and upon this cushion lay a dog so small and so exquisite that the king was filled with wonder. He could scarcely believe his eyes. "Truly you deserve to have the kingdom at once," cried he, "but I have promised that there shall be 3 trials before I give the kingdom to any one of you." The king then told the princes that he wished them to bring him a piece of muslin, so fine and delicate that it could be drawn through the eye of a needle. Whichever one succeeded best should receive at least a part of the kingdom. The 3 princes at once set out on this new errand. The elder brothers sought out the dealers in great cities as before, but the youngest prince rode straight to the castle of the white cat. The cat received him kindly. "I know what is required of you," she said. "Do not trouble yourself in this matter. Stay here with me, and when the proper time arrives, you shall have what you need." So the prince stayed there in the white cat's palace for 1 year, all but 3 days, and the time passed even more pleasantly than before. At the end of that time, the white cat gave a walnut to the prince. "Take this," she said, "and do not open it until you are home again. Within it you will find what you desire." The prince took the walnut and rode away. When he reached the court, his brothers were already there. Each had brought with him a piece of muslin so fine that it would pass through the eye of the darning needle, but they could not draw it through the eye of a cambric needle. When the 3rd prince took out the walnut and cracked it, within it he expected to see a piece of muslin, but instead he only found a hazelnut. He cracked the hazelnut, and inside of that was a cherry stone. He cracked the cherry stone, and inside that was a grain of wheat. The prince began to fear the white cat had deceived him, and that he must lose the kingdom. As for his brothers, they laughed aloud and mocked at him. "What trick is this that you are playing on us?" they asked. "If you have the muslin, show it to us, and if not, then confess to our father that you have failed." Without answering, the prince cracked the grain of wheat, and inside it was a millet seed. His heart sank. However, he cracked the millet seed, and there was a piece of muslin the cat had promised to him. He shook it out, and there were ells and ells of it as fine as gossamer. Never had such a piece of cloth been seen before. The king looked and wondered and admired. The muslin was so fine that it could be drawn not only through the eye of a darning needle, but through the eye of a cambric needle as well. "This is a wonderful piece of cloth," the king said to the young prince. "You have indeed again deserved the kingdom. But there is one more task to be performed before I give it to anyone. I wish you to bring me the most beautiful princesses in the world. Whichever of you can do this shall receive at least half the kingdom." When the elder brothers heard this, they were in haste to set out. The youngest brother had already bought their father the smallest and prettiest dog in the world, and the finest piece of muslin. But with good luck, one of them might still bring to him the most beautiful princess. They journeyed away to far kingdoms where there were princesses who were famed for their beauty. But the youngest prince rode no place at all, but to the palace of the white cat. The cat welcomed him even more kindly than before. "I know what you've come to seek," said she. "This matter is not so easy as the others, but do not be downhearted. I will help you when the proper time comes." Again the days passed pleasantly in the white cat's castle, and the prince was well content to stay there. He was so happy that a whole year, all but a day, slipped by before he thought about it. Then one morning he awoke and remembered that the next day he must be back at the king's palace with the most beautiful princess in the world if he were to win the kingdom. "Alas, alas," he cried, "the kingdom is certainly lost to me. I have no time left to seek for a princess, and moreover, it is 3 days' journey back to my palace. Before I reach there, the kingdom will certainly have been divided between my brothers." "Have I not promised to help you?" asked the cat. "Why do you trouble yourself? If you do exactly as I tell you, the kingdom will be yours, and not that kingdom only, but others beside." The cat then told the prince to draw his sword and cut off her head. But the prince refused to do such an act. He was filled with horror at the bare thought of it. The white cat began to weep bitterly. "What have I not done for you?" she cried. "And you will not do this one thing for me?" She wept and lamented so bitterly that at last the prince could refuse no longer. He drew his sword to cut off the cat's head, but at the same time he closed his eyes so that he might not see the cruel deed. When he opened his eyes again, what was his wonder to see no cat, but a beautiful princess who stood before him smiling. Never had he seen such beauty before. "Prince," said the princess, "you have saved me from a cruel fate. I was taken by the fairies when I was a baby and lived with them as a daughter until I grew up. Then I made them angry because I would not marry a very rich and ugly dwarf who was a friend of theirs. They then changed me and all my companions into cats, and we were obliged to live in these shapes until some young and kind-hearted prince would cut off my head. This you have done, and now we are all restored to our proper shapes again. This shows me that the fairies have forgiven me and will give me back the 2 kingdoms that were mine by rights." The princess, a cat no longer, then ordered the wooden horse to be brought to the door. She and the prince mounted upon it, and away they went, so fast that the wind whistled past their ears. The 3 days' journey was made in less than a day, and when the prince led the princess into court, everyone was obliged to own that now he had indeed fairly won the kingdom. His 2 brothers had also brought home with them beautiful princesses, but neither could compare in beauty with the bride of the youngest prince, for his bride she had promised to be. As soon as a feast could be prepared, she and the young prince were married. As the princess had already 2 kingdoms of her own, she begged the old king to divide his kingdom between his 2 elder sons. This was done. The older princes were married to the beauties they had brought home with them, and they all lived in love and happiness forever after. The end. Well, that's it for now. So, thank you for listening today. If you enjoyed the story, there are links in the show notes if you want to buy a copy for yourself. Don't forget to subscribe. I've got more stories for you soon. Bye for now.